This episode is brought to you by HP Instant Ink. No one is reading your mind, but HP Instant Ink knows when your printer is running low and sends new cartridges before you run out. So you never have to think about ink. For details, visit hp.com/instantinkSpotify. Conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Signals from the Frontline, every Monday and Friday video cast brought to you live on Twitch, also on YouTube, and of course, you can listen to the audio version of the show on iTunes. Check us out, Signals from the Frontline. Be sure to subscribe. Show is brought to you, as always, by frontlinegaming.org, where you can get all your tabletop gaming goodies at up to 25% off retail. We also sell the fat mats, have all kinds of fun events that we run. Pretty cool. Anyway, guys, my name is Reese.
And my name is Frankie.
And thank you so much for tuning in. We've got an action-packed show for you today. Ooh, we're mixing it up.
I like it.
Yeah, not good, not great, but action-packed. Frankie might get thrown through this table or might not. You just have to watch the whole show to find out.
It's like a Sylvester Stallone movie.
I am the law. All right, guys, BAO is coming up in just a few days. Crazy, it snuck up on us, as it always does. Going to be an incredible event. It will be up in the Bay Area at the Game Castle in Northern California. Can't wait to see everybody there. Going to be an absolute blast. 200 people coming this year.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Going to be fantastic. Can't wait to see who walks away from it. The big winner, Chicken Dinner, gets their name on the Belt of Russ. Going to be pretty awesome. You will be up there with a lofty few who have actually managed to pull off the big win, including some of the people, PJ Pants, Steve Sisk, Liz Foster, Christian Alessi. Who is that guy?
Who? I don't even know.
Who is that guy?
I don't even know.
Well, he's done with a stint in the Army, and he's actually going to be at the LVO, so we'll be very happy to see Steve or Christian coming back into the competitive scene. Yep. He used to be really good. He's probably terrible now.
Yeah, he's always okay, I guess.
Hi, Christian, if you're watching. it's going to be a great event. We can't wait to see everybody. The biggest BAO by a mile, yeah. And it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Very, very excited to go and enjoy the event with you guys.
Okay.
And if you guys see PD Pop there, make sure to say thank you. He's fallen on the sword for the community. He's going to play, or I'm sorry, he's going to TO instead of playing. And we really appreciate that because I'm sure that he'd rather play than be a TO. We just wanted to say thank you,
yeah.
Pablo, for making a sacrifice for the community, helping out the company. We really appreciate it. So if you see him there, make sure to say thank you. All right, LVO update. This is coming up in February 2017. Can't wait. Going to be the biggest LVO we've ever had by a
mile.
It's crazy, and it's so exciting. There's so many things happening in the background, some of which we can't share just yet, but we will as soon as that is possible. But just to give you guys an update, the room block for the hotel we're staying at, Bally's, it's already over one-third full.
So crazy.
Yeah, I know. Book your room. You don't want to miss out.
Yeah.
Because if you end up not staying at the hotel and you have to stay at another hotel, even if it's next door, in Vegas, the blocks are giant. So it's actually like a long walk.
Yeah.
You don't want to be carrying all your stuff. I mean, it's not the end of the world if that happens. And it would just be preferable to not have to do that.
Yeah, of course.
And that is a Super Bowl weekend, which means it's going to be super fun, but it's also going to be super full. So you really don't want to wait. The entire hotel will be booked if you wait too long to get your room.
Yeah,
you don't want to miss out. So just give you guys an update and gals out there an update on where the events are at. 30K is over 50% full. That's a Saturday-Sunday event. It will be helped. GW is helping to run it. They just sent us in the player pack.
Yeah.
Going to be amazing. They're going to be backing it with Prize Support from Forge World. That's going to be very exciting. The 30K Mega Battle is almost full. They're about 75%. Booked out for that event. That's a Friday event, and it's crazy. It's filling up so quickly. People are very excited for it. The 40K Champs is just about at 300 players in a little over a week.
That's insane. That's how many players we had last year attend.
Total.
Yeah.
And the tickets have been on sale for just a little over a week now, since July 1st. So in 10 days, we're at a couple players short of 300. Don't wait. That's the big event. That's the flagship event of the Las Vegas Open. It's going to sell out. Clearly, obviously, it's going to sell out probably within a week.
Yeah.
So you don't want to wait. Grab those tickets.
Yeah, I mean, we've got players coming from all over the world. So
Yeah, just like last year. But this year, it's, oh, gosh. We got a whole team of Aussies. They're fired up. They're hitting me up on Facebook, and they're like, oh, mate, we want to come help set up, and we want to do this and that. And I was like, you guys are awesome, man. Like, Yeah, oh yeah, come on out. There's a bunch of Swedes, I believe, that just signed up.
Yeah.
And then I believe a bunch of Danish players. The Danish players come out to a lot of American events. They're really good.
Yeah.
Solid players.
Extremely good.
Yeah, so we can't wait to see everybody there. Obviously, a bunch of our Canadian friends and the Brits. Alex, the winner from this year, he's trying to come out again. And his whole crew of guys was super fun. They all did extremely well. They're hoping to make it out to this year again. Can't wait to see everybody. Hope to see some repeats. Yep. We'd love to see Alex come out and defend his title.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, and Sean Naden, top table 2 years in a row. He won it 2 years back. He's hoping to make the top table again this year.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see him there. Next year, when he screams America to roll for the game-winning charge, maybe he'll get it. The 40K narrative team event is sold out. The narrative solo events, they are selling out quickly. So if you want to participate in the narrative guys narrative event, it is a spectacle. Don't wait, because it is the team event. That's kind of like their flagship event, sold out in a couple of days. You don't want to wait there. The Night Joust singles and doubles are also selling out. Very fun events. There are nighttime events Friday and Saturday where you bring an Imperial Knight, either singles or you play in teams of three in the team event. That's selling out quickly. I wrote doubles. It's team, excuse
triples.
Me.
Triples. Triplets.
Yeah. Trois.
Tripod.
Menage a trois. No, different kind of event. But it's also a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Also, 40K Apocalypse only has 15 spots left. That's a Sunday event. And everything is selling quite steadily. So make sure you jump in there. Any hobby painting classes you want to attend, any other events that you're really excited about, we recommend grabbing the tickets sooner than later.
Yeah, don't want to miss out this year.
No, it's going to be incredible. Also, grab the new Sylvaneth models this week through Friday the 15th at 25% off retail from frontlinegaming.org. The models are unbelievable. They're spectacular. Some of the best models I've ever seen in my life. Illyrial, particularly. I can't wait to put this together. These are mine from my Sylvaneth army.
It's crazy.
They're all so good. They're the Hunters, the Spites, and the Revenants. These are like their basic troops. They're incredible.
Yeah.
The models are spectacular. Really easy to paint, too.
Yeah, GW is hitting it out of the park with the Age of Sigmar models. They are just incredible.
Yeah, and on that note, we just got the Age of Sigmar player packet first draft for the narrative mega battle on Friday at the Las Vegas Open and the championships. We've already sold a bunch of tickets without even having a player packet up, which is showing you that the tide is turning big time on popular opinion on Age of Sigmar. But they are stoked, and this is going to be like the grand championship of North America for Age of Sigmar, recognized by Games Workshop. They're coming in excited, and we are too.
Yeah.
So if you want to go grab a ticket, and the player packets should be up, I would imagine, this week.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, but it looks like it's going to be super fun. The narrative mega battle is going to be awesome. You're going to have a GW staffer. And like they're flying out from the UK.
Oh, you mean the Age of Sigmar mega battle?
What did I say?
You said narrative.
Oh, well, yeah, the Age of Sigmar narrative mega battle. Excuse me. Sorry if I confuse anybody. But their staff's coming out from the UK. They're going to be on the teams with you guys. Like, you'll literally be playing with some of the people that are like a part of making the game and running the game. And two of the staffers, one of them is bringing Archaon. The other one's bringing Gordrak, the orc special character.
Oh my goodness.
And so then basically when you show up, you choose which one you want to be on their team. And then it's just going to be crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it looks like it's fun. But it looks like it's going to be really well organized. Like, you get a time, each team has a time limit for each phase.
Yeah.
So it's going to go really run smooth and quick, even though it's going to be such a big battle. But it looks like you're going to get to play with like people from GWHQ. How cool is that?
That's going to be really cool.
Right? It's badass. So, very excited for that. Get your orders in if you want to pick up some of the new Sylvaneth stuff. Also, I was reading the Sylvaneth Battle Tome this weekend.
Yeah.
We'll go more in depth into that in the next episode of the Ninth Realm podcast. It's our Age of Sigmar podcast. That'll be up on Thursday. But just to give kind of like a brief overview, Frankie was reading it a lot too. It gives you kind of an indication of what the General's Handbook is going to do for the game.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. I think it's great. Like, if you take a themed force, you get special theme bonuses.
Yeah.
It's kind of like tiered lists in War Machine. Like, if I take all Sylvaneth stuff, I can do all this really cool stuff. But if you don't do that, you just take all Order, for example, which is like their mega faction, you get different kinds of bonuses, but you don't get like the faction-specific bonuses that are really good.
Yeah, no, the faction-specific stuff is crazy. You're like, wow.
Yeah, like, I can like keep a unit in reserve and have them like appear into a wood.
Yeah.
I can make woods appear on the table, move them around. You can have your guys like teleport from wood to wood. And really cool. The Sylvaneth faction is going to be very powerful, too.
They're all about the wood.
Hey, in the morning, joke. Just kidding. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to play this army. The models are great, easy to put together. And one of the things that I really, really, really am liking about it, before we go to our main topic for Meta Busting Monday, is at 2,000 points, which is going to be the tournament standard, that's not that big of an army. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make it really big. Like if you played Skaven or Goblins, you could make it huge. But my army at 2,000 points is going to be like 30 to 35 models total.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about what that means. Like, you can make a 2,000 point tournament list for Age of Sigmar without having to spend a ton of money, without having to paint a ton of models. It's good. It's themed. And then you could go get a different one. Because I've already got my eye on, like, the Ogres or the Orcs. Or the War Herd, which is like the Minotaurs and stuff.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool to not have to like invest a huge amount of time making an army and painting a gazillion models. Like, you could seriously knock an army out in a month or two if you paint just like a little bit every day.
Yeah.
Like, no problem. This army will take me literally 2 weekends to paint.
Yeah, plus with not as many models on the table, the games are really,
really
fast.
So, like, they're giving 2.5 hours for the Age of Sigmar Championships at the LVO.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think you'll need that much time. Our games, we're still not playing at that. We're playing about at 1,000 points roughly right now.
Yeah, we're like half as much.
But their game's like a half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah, they're over quick, really fast.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because in tournament play, you could go through, I really think you could do a 4 or 5 round tournament in one day. No problem.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a great game. It's a lot of fun.
Yep, totally is. So anyway, we got a bunch of ITC events coming up this weekend. Go to the ITC tab at frontlinegaming.org. Click on that, scroll down to the month, and then you'll see all the events for the weekend. If you're looking at the show notes, which are available at frontlinegaming.org, you can see them. But we have a ton of big events. We've got, of course, a major event, the BAO. We've got another major event, WinterCon in Canberra, Australia. And we have a GT, the Wet Coast GT in Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada. We're going worldwide. Prestige worldwide. Yeah. I hope you guys enjoy the events. Get your points.
Yep.
And download the ITC tournament app. It makes running a tournament infinitely easier. My gosh.
It's so much better.
So much easier. Like, I know a lot of you guys use Android devices. I do myself. The Best Coast Pairing guys are working on porting it into Android. Currently, it's only available on iOS. But seriously, you can pick up an iPad relatively cheaply.
Yeah.
They're really not that expensive. And if you're a dedicated TO, if you run a lot of events, it's worth the investment. You could even maybe see if you can... community will pitch in. Everybody pitches in $10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's worth it. Like, the amount of time and effort it saves you is ridiculous.
Not to mention, you don't have to fill out the spreadsheet. The scores are automatically uploaded into the database and posted the following week. So
yeah, you don't have to do any data entry at the event. The players do it all for you. Like, you can just walk around and answer rules questions.
Yeah.
It cuts your staff in half at least. That you need to run an event. That means more people get to play and you can focus on doing the fun stuff like answering rules questions. Well, that's not always very fun, but you get to mingle. You're not just furiously filling out spreadsheets and stuff.
Yeah.
It makes your life so much easier. Also, check out Rumble. They have an ITC player finder. So if you want someone to practice ITC format events, go on, check out Rumble, and then they keep track of your overall score compared to everybody else. Really fun.
Yeah.
All right. So today, Meta Busting Monday, we're back. Thank you for being patient. We had a bunch of stuff going on. We couldn't really do it. But today's topic is preparing for a team tournament event. Frankie and I are in the middle of preparing for the ATC, which is the American Team Championship. It's in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
In 2 weeks.
So this is on our minds right now. We're trying to get ready for the team tournament. We thought this would be a great chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then we could do a follow-up Meta Busting Monday because this is our first... team event GT. We've played in small team events like RTTs, but never at a GT.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a learning experience for us too. And we would love to talk about it after the event to say like what we did right, what we did wrong. Mm-hmm. But for us going into it, this is where we're at. And we would love to hear you guys' comments in the comment section on Twitch. If you've participated in the ETC or the ATC before and share your thoughts.
Yeah. No, we're really excited. We really like the format and it's been a lot of fun practicing. So.
Absolutely. So step one for a team event is getting a team of guys that can go. That's been the biggest problem for us.
That's the biggest challenge.
Yeah. So last year we couldn't go because two of our teammates dropped out in the last couple of weeks before the event. That happens. This year, we almost had to drop out because out of our team of five, three of them dropped out.
Yep.
And so we had to find three more replacements. So first thing first, get a dang team that can commit to going. It's harder than you. I mean, we're all adults and life is busy and just things happen.
It's really challenging when you have to travel. If it's like in your state or driving within driving distance, it's a lot easier. Yep. But travel is difficult.
Yeah. And like one of our teammates, we lost him to the ETC, which, okay, fair enough. And then one of our teammates just goes, hey, you know what? I just can't spend that money right now. Yeah. All right, fair enough. And another one had something, a personal life matter come up, and we're like, well.
All right. Here we go.
So that's step one, obviously, finding a team to commit. Kind of a duh comment, but it's the most important step.
Yeah.
Step two, you want to determine who on your team is going to be defenders versus attackers. So the way the team format works is, you know, you one team puts a list down, the other team counters, those guys play, vice versa. So you need to have a team, a list that can go up that you're confident can take on anybody.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get a hammer list is going to get put down on them. So you want to have a half of your team roughly be able to have a take all comers list or a list that's
well-rounded.
Yeah. That's got enough defense that they can take on those true blue hardcore hammer offense armies and do well. So you need some of your guys to be able to take on that role, and then you need the other players to be the pure attackers, and those guys, they really need to maximize their points.
Yeah, and that's where the real strategy comes in, is to those matchups. Like, you need to have the right lists in your arsenal to put down against like a good defender, or a good defender list against all the attackers on your enemy's team. So
yep,
it's gonna be interesting.
It is. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's where, like Frankie said, that's where the meta strategy is. And that's what makes team tournaments so much fun.
Yeah.
Is you're not playing as a group of individuals. You're playing as a team. And when you're riding your lists, it's different than when you go to a singles championship event.
Yeah.
Because you need those armies that can go take on anybody and at least tie, right? Or lose by a small margin. And we'll talk about that more later. But yeah, you need to divide your team up. Who's going to be an attacker? Who's going to be a defender? It's critical if you want to win.
Yeah.
Because if you have all attackers, you may not do so well if you have all defenders. You know, you might gonna rack up enough points. You need to kind of thread that needle and have a good mix on there. Because another part of that, and this is step three, is when you're writing your lists, you can only have one of each faction, right? You can't just take six or five, however many teammates you have, depending on the format. You can't just take like five Eldar, which is what everybody would do.
That'd be really good.
And that'd be dumb and boring, and that would not be a fun format in the slightest. What makes it so cool is that you have variety, right? That's one of my favorite things about the team tournament format. And armies that are not good in a singles event, or I should say aren't going to win the event in a singles tournament, can be really good in a team format. Like Orcs, Tyranids, Sisters of Battle, they have a place in a team event because when you're choosing your matchups, you can avoid those really, really bad matchups.
Yeah, and it gets harder and harder as you go up in players. Like ETC, I believe, is what?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
And as you go there, it gets a lot more challenging to have players that are good at certain armies. So.
And when you're picking your team of guys, not only do you need guys to commit, you need guys that each have a different army and are good with that army. So it is challenging.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging for like ETC and stuff, because they qualify with a certain army, and then they'll have like three or four guys qualify for the same army, and they're like, oh man.
Yeah, like, well, we got four guys who qualified with Eldar. All right. Anybody else play a different army?
Yeah.
And that is one of the challenges. And so when we drew from within our own team as much as possible, and then we started headhunting for guys that were good with a specific army.
Yeah.
And you have to think about the meta, right? So when you're going to a team event, everyone's kind of doing the same mental exercise, right? Are you going to play for the meta, or are you going to counter the meta? Is that, what's your strategy going to be? Because if you're going to go with a kind of like the expected team, like you're going to have Eldar, Tau, a Death Star, maybe two, a Chaos Death Star, an Imperial Death Star army, you're going to be, that's what everybody else is planning for.
Yeah.
So you can bring those power armies and lists and hope that you're just good enough and it's powerful enough that you can overcome a set defense. Or you can try and get sneaky with it and try and counter the meta. And if you do that right, and you do draw those expected lists, you're going to do really well. The downside to that is oftentimes when you try to meta bust a list,
you'll play against random lists, and then you won't know what you're
doing. Yeah,
you're
like, oh, you won't draw what you built your army to fight, and then you may find yourself on your back foot.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a risk. Ultimately, you know, the best advice is the same as it is for anything. play the army that you're most comfortable with, that you know the best, because that's going to maximize your odds of success. But if you do want to counter the meta, think about what you're going to see. Well, you know you're going to see almost every team is going to have an Eldar player, guaranteed. It's going to have Scat Packs, it's going to have a Wraith Knight, may have a...
Warp Spiders.
Oh, definitely going to have Warp Spiders, and it may have a Seer Counselor or not. That's really the only big variable that we're seeing at present. You know you're going to face probably at least one Death Star. You just count on it. So you should probably bring one of your teammates that can counter a Death Star. Lots of ways to do that. You can go back to one of our Meta Busting Mondays, How to Defeat Death Stars. It's in the Tactics Corner. It's a good podcast to listen to if you want to brush up on that. But oftentimes it's going to involve like a Kallaxis Assassin or some super heavy vehicles that can go in. I'm sorry, super heavy walkers or gargantuan creatures that can go in and just stomp them out.
Yeah.
That's one of the best tactics we found.
Relying on that six.
It's kind of lame, but it does work. So you want to think about these things. Like, okay, who on our team is going to fight Eldar? Well, the good thing about Eldar is that they're actually pretty easy to counter if you can choose the matchup.
Yeah.
Right? If they're throwing an Eldar player out as an attacker, which they should never, or as a defender, which they should never do, if you've got a drop pod army or lots of flyers, then you're going to be good to go. You know, that's the army you want to match up. If you've got a Death Star, like we said, you want to counter it with something that can kill them. Tau, that's another one you're going to want to think about because almost everybody's going to have a Tau army. They're very good, especially in a team format.
Yep.
And you got to think about who are we going to fight against the Tau? But again, they're probably going to be an attacker in most instances. So you need to think about that, like who's going to be able to take this guy on?
Yeah.
That's a bit of a challenge. You want to think about Death Stars, like I said, also Battle Company. Mm-hmm. And we have another podcast about Battle Company. You might want to check that out and help educate yourself so that you're ready to rock and roll. But you need someone who can handle tons of light vehicles and a ton of MEQ infantry models. You want to think about all these things when you're putting your team together.
Yeah, and something that's really important too is after you figure out what list you're going to be playing, make sure to play against a variety of armies so that you know what you're strong against, what you're not strong, let your captain know exactly what you want to play against and what you don't want to play against, because it's really important that you know your own list going into the tournament.
Yeah, that's the best advice. Yeah. Know your list, backwards and forwards. And like Frankie was saying, like what we're going to start doing here is our lists, we know that in a strong matchup, I know that I'm probably going to win.
Yeah.
But now we're going to start practicing against our bad matchups in case we get outfoxed in the pairing process and then you find yourself playing that game that you didn't want to play.
Yeah.
Well, you need to be mentally prepared so that you don't freak out. And that way you can overcome that bad matchup. Those are all things that are really important when you're preparing, when you're building your lists.
Yeah.
Step four, you want to choose your team captain. Your team captain is a critical member of the team, obviously. They're ultimately responsible for the matchup game.
Yeah.
So the team captain should be the person who's most knowledgeable on your team of the meta. Mm-hmm. Like, this person should know the game really well. They should be able to look at the list that's coming down and go, okay, out of what I have available, this is going to be our best shot. And vice versa. Okay, looking at all their lists, who do we put out as a defender, knowing that they might throw out a really good counter list?
Yeah.
So this is really important. The captain's got a lot of pressure on, but if they do it well, they're going to set you up for success before any dice are rolled. Mm-hmm. At the last team tournament we went to,
that was our strength, yeah, for sure.
We matched up perfectly the whole way through.
Yeah.
We lost one game total, like one match within the overall round in total. We went, every teammate won every game except me. I lost one, but no one cares about that.
So a 12-year-old?
He was 15, going on 40.
Hormones.
He was taking HGH. Some of those brain pills that I keep seeing on Facebook that apparently make you super smart. But that was our strength. And we played some really good teams. We played NWO, it was one of the better 40K teams. And I feel like they could have easily beaten us, but we matched up better.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we definitely got the better pairings.
So. Yeah. And even those ones where we had to guess who they were going to put down last, we guessed right. Yep. You know, and it was good. And you could kind of, when you get a feel for it, if your captain's good at what they're doing, they can look at it. And especially if you know the players too, that gives you an extra level of meta knowledge. You can go, okay, I feel like that's their strongest player. They're going to put them down. In this round of matchup. So the captain wants to be the person who's going to be the best at that role.
Yeah, and it's actually a lot of fun doing those little pairings and stuff. It's a blast.
It is, really. Team format, I think, is the most fun.
Yeah, definitely.
It really is. Nothing beats the drama of a singles championship event.
Yeah.
But team formats are absolutely a blast. The last thing is when you're playing, you want to keep in mind that you're playing as a team. You're not playing as a group of individuals. You're playing as a team. So in a team format, sometimes the best thing you can do for your team is to lose by a little bit or to tie.
Yep.
Right? Now, bear that in mind. Like, you add up the points of everybody of all five games, and then the team that has the most points wins the round. So you can still win by losing. I know that sounds funny.
Yeah.
But you want to remember that. Like, you're playing as part of a team. Your function is not necessarily to go for the win. Sometimes the best thing you can do is to just play for the tie.
Yeah, not a lot of these tournaments, it's like out of like 30 points or something like that. So you just play to where your opponent will beat you by a little bit, and it's not a big deal. Because
right.
Then your other players should be able to recoup those points.
Right. And a perfect example of that, I believe it was 3 years ago, it might have been four at this point.
Yeah.
A West Coast team went to the ATC and they won, and they attributed their success to one of their teammates was a Space Wolf player. He never did better than tie. And it's because they put him against the other team's best player, most powerful list,
yeah,
all five rounds, and all he did was survive. Because the other team is assuming that their ringer is going to come out and max points, and that's a part of their strategy.
Yeah.
So if you can blunt that and get him to, you know, a minor victory or a tie, then the rest of your teammates have more wiggle room to maybe not win by as much, and your team will win as a whole.
Yeah.
So that's really important. To get a really, really powerful defensive list. Like, we used to joke about taking like a Nurgle army.
Kugath Kokwok.
The Kugath Kokwok, sorry for the adult language, but it was
amazing.
It was really funny. But it was an army that couldn't do any damage, but it was like impossible to kill.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you put that up against their hardcore, like grav spam army or whatever, or, you know, anything really. And then they just sit there and laugh and don't die.
Yeah.
And then that can be what makes your team win the round. Right, so bear that in mind. Sometimes it may not be individually super enjoyable, but you're helping your team win. So remember that. And then you do need your hammer list to really max out those points. That's the strategy.
Super important.
Yep. Step six, and this one we always like to throw out there, remember to have fun. That's what it's all about. If your team is together having a good time and you're relaxed, you're going to play better.
Yeah.
Don't get too serious. If someone makes a mistake, don't get down on your teammate, because that's just going to make your overall performance go down.
Yeah.
Just stay lighthearted. I mean, we all get very competitive at times.
Yeah, but it's a game. You're there with a bunch of buddies, so have fun.
Yeah. Open up with a beer for your opponent. Hopefully they can't handle their booze. That gives you an advantage.
Another strategy.
So we'll talk about the armies that we're bringing, mm-hmm. and talk about why we chose them, why we think they're going to be good.
Yeah.
Frankie, why don't you lead off our Tau player?
Yeah, I'm playing my Monster Bash Tau list that you guys have seen on the internet. So it's a double Storm Surge, Riptide Wing, Drone Net. It's really powerful. It doesn't have a whole lot of bad matchups. I think my worst matchup is probably a Death Star. The Death Star, though, comes down to if I roll sixes on stomps, unfortunately, like most Death Stars do. The army play is really good, especially against reserve armies. My whole army has Interceptor. The Storm Surges are extremely hard to kill. And they hit like a truck and shooting in both close combat. I think it's a really well-rounded army. I've won a lot of games with it. I have lost a few as well. But the double Storm Surge is really mean. And I think it's actually really hard to counter. So
I agree 100%. When we were batting around ideas, originally we thought about having you be our Battle Company player because you've had such good success.
Yeah.
But we thought Tau might be a really good addition to the team because... really, there was nobody else that could play Tau. I mean, Jeremy Vessier was one of our teammates. He unfortunately can't make it.
Yeah.
He's a really good Tau player, but he plays a totally different kind of Tau army. And when we were strategizing as a team, we were like, well, we know Frankie can take on a Death Star and win. I mean, we've seen games where you've lost big because you didn't roll any sixes on stomps.
Yeah.
And then we've seen games where it was over on turn one or two because you stomped out the key characters in a Death Star and that was it. It was over.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a gamble, but it's like you have the best odds. So we really wanted somebody on the team that could do that. And then, of course, one of our teammates wanted to use Space Marines.
Yeah.
In his army.
Right. No problem.
Yep. And that's one of the things. I was originally going to bring KDK with Renegades.
Yeah.
And great army. I feel very confident with it. Fun. I was really stoked. But then we had a teammate drop, and we had to bring another teammate in. And he plays Chaos Death Star, and he has every Chaos faction.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, okay, I can't play KDK.
Fair enough.
No problem. This is a part of the whole process.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'll go Astro Militarum. And the list I'm bringing, you saw it on Tuesday Night Fight. I played Thomas. Finally beat him.
Yeah.
He's a very good player. Top Space Marine player right now. I don't feel bad that he's beat me. All the games have been close.
He's really good.
Very good player. And I brought Astra Militarum, and I feel very, very confident with it. It's a list that I think a lot of people will be unprepared for unless they watch this podcast.
I think most people will be unprepared for Astra Militarum.
In general.
It's not an army that you're seeing a lot.
No, so. No. Really good army. I use the Psychana Division, which is what I think is one of the most underrated formations in the game.
For sure.
It's so good. So freaking good. And that is what makes my arm. That's what makes Astra Militarum my list, able to go toe-to-toe with any other army.
Yeah.
I have a couple matchups I feel really not confident about. I'm not going to say them until after we go to the ATC. Because if we play somebody who's watching this, we don't want them to know the army I don't want to play. Right?
Scared of this list.
Ooh, or I should throw out a red herring.
There you go.
I really don't want to play Space
Dark
Marines.
Dark Eldar. You know, Dark Eldar is scary.
Actually, Dark Eldar would be good against me.
No.
Yeah. I actually feel like that'd be a good matchup against me.
I disagree.
Frankie.
Totally disagree.
Please don't put Dark Eldar. No one's going to bring Dark Eldar to the ATC.
They might.
If you do, I applaud you.
You're a champion.
But I have basically the army is the Astra Militarum elements of the army are relatively static. I hold the backfield and I shoot the piss out of you. Mm-hmm. And then I have demons or I have throwaway units that I have to go forward and attack. I have a bunch of flyers. And the army gives me a lot of mobility. It gives me a lot of hitting power. It gives me really good defense, too. I feel my army is very well-rounded, and I could be comfortable as an attacker or a defender.
Yeah. I think your list is probably one of the more well-rounded lists that we have on the team.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm still figuring out if I want to throw an Imperial Knight in there or if I want to take just more guns, more Astra Militarum guns. Both, I think, are good options.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at, and I feel like the army is going to perform very well. I'm really, really happy with it, and I think that, like you said, I feel like I could do either. I could be an attacker or defender. I think you could too. Although yeah. I think we would want you to be an attacker in most situations.
I think so too. But yeah, no, I think our team is going to be, it's going to be different, I think, than all the other teams that you're going to be seeing.
Yeah.
We have really wonky, like different lists.
Only two.
And different combinations. So I think it's going to be great. So
I agree. Only two of the lists in our team are lists that you would expect to see.
See at like a tournament.
Yeah. Three of the five are like not what you would normally see. I think that's going to give us an advantage.
For sure. I don't know. I think people will mess up pairings since our lists are so weird.
And that's part of our team strategy, right? Like we wanted to be different. And
yeah. Or they'll just be really good at pairings and we'll get stomped every time. That could happen too. So anyways, guys, let's go into list for review. We got an orcs list. All right. Got a big mech with the Finken cap and custom force field. He's got a war boss on a bike with the lucky stick, claw, and a boss pull. Elites, he's got a 12-man unit of tank buses with three squid bombs inside of a truck with a ram. Troops, he's got two units of Gretchen. Fast attack, he's got a unit of five Defcoptas with Twin Link rocket launcher and three Defcoptas with Twin Link rocket launcher. Eight war bikes, including Knob with claw. And then he's got a Lord of War. He's got the custom Stompa with two big shooters, a Def Cannon with coaxial super Gatling.
He's got all the normal stuff. Yeah.
Death Arsenal, Flame Belcher.
The Giga Shooter,
Giga
which is
shooter,
super fun.
And a Titan close combat weapon.
Yeah.
And a power field.
So Eduardo, awesome list. I like it. This is a really, really well-rounded orc army. The Def Coptas are surprisingly good.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're really freaking good. They have the twin-linked rocket, which gives you a 55% chance of hitting. They're pretty good in melee. They're fast. They're really good at picking up objectives. Tank busters as of present
are really good.
As soon as the GW FAQ goes in the final draft form, if they stick with one grenade per unit per assault phase, which 99% of that FAQ I think is amazing. That one thing I really don't care for at all. Although my Lehman Russ tanks will be like, yay, we still suck, but just less.
That's funny. Somebody's comment was that.
Yeah.
My Lehman Russes will be safe. Somebody was like, why are you taking Lehman Russ?
Terrible. I mean, you could do like the Plasma Cutioner sometimes with Pask, and you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
They're just not good. Tanks in general are
the Punisher is super good.
Yeah. And they're cheap too.
Yeah.
So they're cheap. And then with that change, they won't get nuked by a single 5-man tactical squad of Marines.
Yeah.
But in general terms, I don't think it's that good for the game. Anyway, Tank Busters right now are amazing. As soon as that FAQ goes into final draft form,
not so many.
The 30 of them that I have will be at the proxy with something else.
War bikes are super good.
Mm-hmm.
They're excellent. An 8-man unit, I think, might be a little bit too big.
Well, he runs the War Boss with the Lucky Stick in there. Yeah. I would rather take Zadsnark. He's better in every way
yeah.
Than the War Boss. Lucky Stick is great, but if you take Zatsnark in there, he's just so much better. He gives him Scout. He gives him Skilled Rider, which is worth it by itself. His Power Claw swings at Initiative 4. He's just better.
Yeah, and paired up with him, you can drop the Gretchen and take like 2 units of Warbikes.
Yeah, and then because he makes them troops, and then they become Omsag. He's just he's better. Yep. There's a reason why he's in every freaking Orc army. He's the best character in the book.
He's amazing.
Yeah, but on the whole, I really like this army. I think it's you got mobility. You've got
A Stompa. Stompas are awesome.
You throw the Gretchens in the Stompa. He makes them Obsec for the time being.
Yep.
Really good.
I like it.
I like it too.
Orcs are fun, but I would definitely say the same thing Reese did. Drop the War Boss, take Zardsnark, and take a couple more War Bikes in there.
Yep. And just keep one unit of Gretchen to put into the Big Mac Stompa.
Yeah. All right. We'll take some questions if you guys want to shoot that our way.
Rex Scarlet says, how many teams will be at the ATC? I don't remember.
I think it's 50. No, I can't.
That's 250 people.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I think it's like...
It might be 30-something.
Yeah, I don't remember. Go to the ATC website. Check it out for yourself.
Yeah.
It's like 100... It's between 100 and 200 people that go to the ATC. I think it's like 130, 40, I think.
Yeah,
it's... I want to say. It's a big event. Big
turnout, yeah.
DKO Xylophone says, before the game, you just give the other team a Bill Cosby cocktail. An alleged Bill Cosby cocktail.
Omega, what do you think would be an amazing assault marine army? Space Sharks. Space Sharks are cool.
Carcharodons, yeah.
Yeah.
Raven Guard do it extremely well.
Yeah.
They're the best at it right now when you use the Shadow Strike kill team.
It's just a good detachment.
It is so good. Yeah. It is so good. My Night Lords will eventually get done, and I'm proxying them as Raven Guard.
Yeah.
Because they play like the fluff of the Night Lords.
All right. Rex Carlslot. I play an MSU Psyker Heavy Army. What would be a couple pointers on speeding up gameplay?
Yeah, MSU Psyker Armies play slow. Really slow.
Yeah. Is it a demon list? If so, make sure to group your guys into like 10-man units.
Yeah.
I magnetized mine and put them on little metal discs. So that when you deep strike, you just put them down. It made it a lot faster. But yeah, you're going to be sweating every game because it takes difficult. A lot of time.
Yeah, try to just think about what you're going to do before. Like in your psychic phase, don't go, try to have it all set up, ready to go.
Yeah.
Just speed things up as much as possible. Run in your movement phase whenever you can. Mm-hmm. You need to play quick because it's not fair to your opponent if you're eating up more than half the time.
Yeah. Omega, how did you guys find season 6 for Game of Thrones?
Amazing.
It was really good.
The
final episode was okay.
The last two. Geez. The second to last, the Battle of the Bastards was...
That was really
good. That was like going to the movies. Yeah. Like, it's so good. Oh my god.
DKO Xylophone, have you guys ever thought about doing some X-Wing battle reports?
Neither Frankie nor myself is like a huge X-Wing fan.
Yeah. I'm sure we will in the future, but...
We have done one. It's a great game. I just like every time I've played it, it's just a little too simple for me. And I'm sure if you played it more, the depth of the game comes out.
Yeah.
But
they say once you play the cards, it like changes it. But I don't know.
To be honest, it's hard enough for us to keep up with 40K and Age of Sigmar. And we're going to try. We're going to try our best to squeeze in a little War Machine with the new edition. And we're also playing Drop Zone Commander. Like, our plates are pretty full. If anybody wanted to come over to the studio and do an X-Wing battle report,
sure,
we'd be happy to film it.
Geekmaster K, other than the standard practice, do you have any general tips for mitigating unfavorable matchups in singles tournaments? Just always play to the mission. Remember the mission and just play to that. Don't try to annihilate your opponent in a bad matchup.
And practice your bad matchups.
Yeah.
Like, practice against the army that you don't want to play against 10 times. And then you'll be ready. You'll find the ways that you can possibly win the game.
Yeah, but there's a big percentage of people that lose games by losing sight of the mission. So.
Yep. CW Dub, what's that army with the Imperial Knight behind you guys? And are those land speeders? Oh, that's my Militarum Tempestus army. And those are Toroxes. You can check it out. If you go into the Tactics Corner, you can see a battle report. I took them to a GT. And there's a really good series of articles coming out. One of our new writers has been doing a tactical analysis of Militarum Tempestus, doing a great job.
Yeah.
It's a super fun army to play.
They are really fun.
It's really, really fun. That's a tough army to play.
For sure.
But the It's super fast. All my games are done early. Really, really fun. And I highly recommend it. I've been hearing good things about their new start collecting formation too.
They should have 1d6 scatter.
I think so too.
2d6.
Because they used to have a mission. They used to have like a special mission that you would choose. And they could either scatter 1d6 or they get pinning on the first shot. Yeah. I would like to see them bring that back.
Yeah. Our buddy Usi used to play a drop Astromilitarum list back in the day. And he called it, "It's Raining Men."
I played that in 4th edition. I had all tanks and then like 18 deep striking units. It was so much fun.
Usi played a lot of lists like that back then. Played his Dark Elder the same. Let's see.
Solo bassist, are the GW Rata live for the standard ITC tournament format, or are we waiting for the final draft? Anything that's an official Rata is good. Anything that's in draft form is not good.
Yeah. So the drafts, negative. The Rata's, yes.
Yeah, the official Rata's are good to go. Friendly gaming, am I missing something? Can Forge World Knights be used in the Lord of War slots for Imperial armies, but normal knights can't? Yeah, you're correct. Forge World, the Sarastis Chassis Knights can be taken as Lords of War. Normal Imperial Knights cannot. Why? We don't know.
Take that. Geekmaster K, any clarification in the ITC? Do Autarchs still modify reserve rolls if they're dead? Negative.
No. No, if he's dead, it goes away. the Cow King asks, what faction do we think is going to win the BAO this weekend? I don't know. I would say smart money would be on...
You put your faith in Jeff last time.
I'm going to throw it for our boy Jeff. I think he's going to be...
He sent me a text and he's like, "No faith, Frankie? No faith?" I was like, "Nope."
He's playing really well. He's playing War Convocation. He's been playing that army for a couple of years now.
Yeah, he's come been kicking butt.
He's come very close to winning numerous times. I think this could be his year, but he's going to have to fight through a really tough field.
Yeah. I'm going to go put my money on Tau.
You think so?
I'm going to put it on Tau.
That's an interesting because there's a great article on Frontline Gaming right now from Variance Hammer who does statistical analysis.
Yeah.
And he was saying like Tau usually finishes a like upper middle pack, but they rarely win GTs.
Yeah.
Because they do have like usually Death Stars. They really can struggle to counter it. anything that's good in melee that can resist their crazy shooting can do it.
Yeah, or tie them up in combat. Yep. Anyways, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys on Friday. I think we're still doing the podcast.
We will do it before we leave.
We have to leave and head up to the BAO. So we'll see you guys all there. Bye.